in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart in the sight of thine eyes. This morning, I'm one of these young men with all the joys of youth and excitement of life. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. This morning, I want to talk about rejoicing and what rejoicing is, remembering our Creator. This verse that I read is found in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. I'll start reading from 7. And we'll go down through chapter 12 as well. There's a lot of ways you can interpret this command to rejoice. I guess just studying this, I was made aware of that, and just what I've come up with in my meditation, and what God has revealed to me is just a small part of what the whole realm of rejoicing in life is. Verse 7 starts, "Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for there shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." Chapter 12, remembering now the Creator's in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel be broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even the words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The Bible says to rejoice, and what exactly does that command mean? Is it simply just to be happy? I don't believe that just simply being happy is the fulfillment of this command, or if this command, you know, I don't know if you want to call it a command, but I believe God enjoys to see mankind rejoice, and it's not a secular happiness or fulfillment of carnal or earthly needs. I believe God's desire is for us to rejoice in the life he gave us, and for us to remember who gave us this life, to live life to the fullest. You hear this a lot, live life to the fullest, but I think that there is a scriptural meaning to this without a secular connotation. In other words, without slothfulness. Some ways we can enjoy life and rejoice in it is thank the Lord for the little things, recognize them as blessings. The little different things tick different people, and as far as finding joy or appreciation of little things in life. But I believe God, I mean, one of the things that is just filled with little things that everyone can enjoy is creation. Just the song of a bird on a beautiful spring morning. Good times with friends. That can go on. This commandment isn't intended to be secular. It says it will judge each thing we do. And let us remember our Lord. I believe the root of truly rejoicing is remembering who God is and remembering who has given us life. It's the root of truly rejoicing in our youth or middle-aged or old-aged men or people, remembering our Creator. The very things we rejoice in don't come from man's work, but they come from God and His handiwork. And may we remember our Creator in that light. We rejoice in His goodness, His love for mankind. It's all through the Bible, the way His desire to connect with mankind. And that's something we can rejoice in. We need to. It's not a mundane thing. This communion with our God on a daily basis is not a mundane work. It's something our heart longs for, to worship our God. And if we don't worship God, if we don't choose to worship God, we'll worship something. Rejoicing can have a very deep meaning, or it can just have a surface of, you know, things God has created on this earth for our enjoyment. I believe God smiles when He sees us just taking the breath, a full breath of fresh spring air, and just loving the beauty of a morning He's created in this, especially this time of the year. It's just such a beautiful time of nature. And another thing He talks about in this chapter is vanity. And just thinking about what is vanity. I believe a verse that sums it up really well is 1 John 2:16. You don't have to turn to these if you don't want to. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. I believe this is a verse that sums up what vanity that this writer is talking about in this scripture. These lusts, these prides, these carnal things will return to dust. And the spirit of man will return to God, who gave it, to be judged. These pleasures and prides and lusts, which can fulfill carnal desires, are what is in the world through the fall of man, and they are vanity. These are not something that God has put there for us to enjoy, even though the carnal man finds pleasure in them. They're not there for enjoyment of a Christian. Satan has put them there. Rather, Satan has put them there for us to be drawn away from our Creator and to forget the true meaning of rejoicing in our God. Satan's desire is for us to misdirect this rejoicing in life, our happiness, our fulfillment, whatever we find that in, to fulfill in the carnal desires of mankind, diverting mankind from rejoicing and finding our fulfillment in the Lord. He'll divert that fulfillment that we rejoice from in the Lord to these prides and pleasures and lusts. Another aspect to vanity is our earthly work, the things of this earth that aren't necessarily, they're not necessarily prides, or they're not wrong. Like we all need to work to survive on this earth, the sweat of our brow. Things that are vanity, or ourself, our reputation, our name, are things we all have, but we need to remember they will return to dust. Our spirit is what will be judged. So I have to think, what am I living in? What am I living in? in seeking fulfillment from these vanities, or am I recognizing those vanities for what they are? You could say the necessary evils of having to have money to live. And am I recognizing for what they are and living in the Spirit, communing with the Spirit of God through Christ's work? These prides and lusts are in us by default, and it's only through the sanctifying work of God, of Christ, and the purging of our hearts that we can live above these prides and lusts and pleasures that are not true godly rejoicing. Galatians 6:14 says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Okay, I'm not sure why I have 16 there, but 14 was the verse I wanted. "But God forbid that I glory outside of the cross. If I do, it's vanity." And this sanctifying work that draws us to remember our Creator and gives us reason to rejoice, this purging of our hearts, I love the verse in Psalm 139, "To search my heart and know me and try me, to see if there be any wicked way in me." And it's just my prayer. I believe that's a daily part of rejoicing in God's work is recognizing our need of His sanctifying work in our hearts. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." What I'm trying to do is divide what true rejoicing is between secular fulfillment, if you want to call it temporary fulfillment. It's not a... I want to bring out what true rejoicing in the Lord is, and what God has placed here on this earth for us to rejoice. And to enjoy the days of our youth. You know, it's the Christian life isn't... taking away all enjoyment of life. God has put many beautiful things here on this earth for us to truly enjoy in hearts that praise Him for them. And Galatians 5, where it talks about the Spirit against the flesh, and it talks about all the works of the flesh. These are all exposing the prides and the pleasures that are temporary fulfillment but will return to dust. In 22, where it talks about the fruit of the spirits and the love, the joys, and the peace, is what a life that is brought under Christ will experience, the fruits of the Spirit, and these bring forth true rejoicing. And these fruits of the Spirit are only through one way. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." It's not any secular ability, any kind of personal ability to bring forth anything. And when we realize that it's only through the work of Christ, it gives us a heart that rejoices by just knowing the work of Christ, and He's done what He's done for us, and it should be very humbling to us. The story of salvation. Let us just remember the fruits in verses in Galatians 5. There, the fruits of the Spirit, and let's remember that they bring forth the true rejoicing that God desires. Let's remember our Creator and live in the work of the cross, and remember what is vanity. the works of the flesh that are mentioned in Galatians 5 are examples of what is vanity. So rejoice in this life from God, and next time you just hear that bird singing his heart out on a beautiful spring morning, you breathe in that crisp, fresh air. It's one of the things God has put for each one of us there to enjoy and to rejoice in and to praise his name. That's just one example of the beauties that God has put here for us. The earth does have beauty that draws us toward our Creator. And it is his desire that we partake in these things and do rejoice in his name. Do we pray? Okay, let's just bow for prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning and we praise your name for the work you've done in bringing us this beautiful spring morning where we can, as a brotherhood, come together to rejoice in your name and the work you've done for each one of us. And the plan of salvation that you offer to each person. Help us to, we just ask for grace and wisdom to discern in each one of our own personal lives what we're drawing our fulfillment, our reasons of rejoicing from. Just pray that you would expose our own, just try us and purge our hearts, expose our own hearts to ourselves where we can recognize the prides and the lusts and the pleasures that are there, have a deep root in our human nature, and bring them to you, and just to allow Christ's work to crucify us to the world, where we can rejoice in your work and rejoice in the beauty you put here on earth for us to enjoy, to remember your name. I just pray for this service as we go through these all-day meetings. Pray for the speakers and all the ones that have part, that you would impart your spirit, your wisdom, and your grace upon. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.